justify us. Church, if you can't feel nothing in that song, then hear the word today that I'm about to bring. Because Jesus is coming. The kingdom is going to be established. Our glorification is on the way. Our immortality is at hand. The change is near. Things are about to happen. Things are about to change drastically. In the spirit realm, things are being prepared for the people of God. Though we see the world as it is, God sees the time in His time. And I'm telling you, time is at hand. For people that deny that He is returning, for people that say there is no return of Christ, there is no return for the kingdom, there is no establishment for God's people, that this is it, they are wrong, and one day they will see how wrong that they are. The kingdom of God is already, as we know, established because of Calvary. Calvary birthed the kingdom, but the kingdom's not yet been manifested. The kingdom has not yet been fully realized, but we that are a part of God's kingdom will take on our immortality. We will take on our incorruption. We will walk in the newness of life which God ordained from the very beginning. Now, I want you to hear the word, because the world needs to hear this. No man knows the day. It'll be sudden. When people say all of a sudden things are good and there's peace and everything, all of a sudden, as a thief of the night, the Bible says, will be the return of the Son of Man, which tells us this, that we can't predict it and we don't know when it'll happen, but we do know that it's coming. And we do know that when that happens, those that are covered by the blood of Jesus shall see Him face to face and shall come out of their shell of mortality and walk into the perfect newness of life in which Jesus gave us at Calvary. See, the Holy Spirit He gave us is our down payment. It's the down payment for the fullness that's yet to come. We can only speculate what it's going to be like. We can only imagine what it's going to be like. We can't really see. The Bible says eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and we can't understand what God has prepared for His people. But the table is being prepared as we speak, and the plates are being set out as we are here. And there will be a day that the invitations will come forth in a way that will call us by name and say, come on, it is time for you to walk into the fullness of what I've called you. It's time for the fullness to be realized. It's time for the kingdom to be established. Now, we saw this week on TV, we saw the royal wedding that had over 2 billion viewers, I heard. 2 billion viewers of the royal wedding. And I understand it's historical, and I know, especially for women, it's a thing they like to see. And people got up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to watch this wedding over the ocean. And I understand the significance of the earthly realm of what that means. But as I got, and I didn't watch any of it, I saw a few of the later on the news, some previews of it. But as I thought about all of this royalty and about this wedding coming forth, how symbolic that is spiritually, that we are the bride as the church, and the groomsman is going to return for a bride that is adorned. Adorned with what? Adorned with His blood, which makes us what? Which makes us royalty. It makes us priest in Christ. And that'll be one more wedding day when we are joined in with Christ forevermore, when we become one again without sickness and without death and without sorrow and without torment and without fear and without bondage and without frustrations and without sickness and without mind problems and marriage problems and money problems. When all comes together, when the groomsman comes to receive the bride, we will be adorned with His glory and with His beauty, and that we will come together. That's a wedding for the ages. We are royalty in Christ. It doesn't matter if your name in the earth's not royalty. You're royalty in God's book. It doesn't matter what your bloodline is in the earth, only what your bloodline is in heaven. It doesn't matter where you are born or where you live or how you look or what you came out of. What matters is what you came into, and that is you came out of darkness and into light. You came out of sin into righteousness. You came out of law into mercy. You came out of behind the curtain and inside the curtain, the very holy of holies. There you stand, righteous before God. Glory to God. Can somebody get excited this morning? Do you realize who we serve? Now, see, you don't think I'm making this up. Turn to Romans. Let's read some scriptures, because if I don't read no scripture, y'all come out saying preacher just preaching his own doctrine. Romans chapter 8. We're going to talk about Jesus is coming. The kingdom is going to be established. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. If you you got it, say, I got it. If you don't, say, wait. Okay, Romans 8, because I want y'all to follow along. Romans 8. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 8, verse 18. All right, everybody good? All right, if you're not good, just, as a darling says in Annie Griffith, just grab it and hang on. Romans 8, 18. This is Paul speaking. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what Paul was saying? Let's stop and expound on this. That there's another place that we're going to be at other than this present world. There's another realm waiting on us. There's another glory waiting on us. If all we had, Paul said one place, was this earth, how miserable men would be. We'd have no hope if this was it. If this was all we had to look forward to, our 40, 50, 80, 100 years on earth, and we left, that's all we had, how miserable a life it would be. But the reason our life's not miserable, and the reason we can walk with joy and power and peace, is to know there's a future waiting on us, and there's a place God has planted for us to walk into. It's not over when we leave this earth. It's only begun as a believer when we leave this earth. It's only begun. Why? There's a heritage waiting for God's people. So Paul's saying that it's worth suffering here because of what is to come. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What kind of pain is the groaning? It's birthing pains. And see, this is how I picture our stance with God now as believers. That we have not yet fully manifested our inheritance, but we have been born into it. And you think about a mother carrying a child. That child is very real in her belly. Very real. The life is there. The seed is born, but it's not yet been delivered. See, we've been born in the kingdom, and very soon we'll be delivered into the kingdom, where we're going to come out of all of our fleshly nature, and where this flesh will be transferred into spirit, and we will have a glorified body that will not perish, it will not decay, it will not grow old, it will not grow weak, it will not grow weary, it will not rust out, it will not run out, it will not give out. We have a glorified body. Jesus proved this by his own resurrection. The same body that they crucified him was the same body that came out of the grave. But this body he came out with could not be nailed to a cross again, because this body was glorified, because he overcame death, hell, and the grave for us and ascended back into heaven to show us we will have a glorified, resurrected state when the kingdom is fully established. Now, we're already in the kingdom now. We know that spiritually. Spiritually, we've been redeemed. Spiritually, we've been restored. Spiritually, we've been bought back. Spiritually, we're God's child. But we still ache. We still have problems. We still hurt. Don't let no Christian, and I get tired of, you got some Christians that are just too Christian. You know what I'm talking about? They're too Christian. They're not even real no more. It's like, hello, are you there? Life is great. I'm always happy. No, you're not, you big, fat, hell-burning liar. You can't always be happy. I don't care how Christian you are. There's nobody that always is happy unless they're on crack. And you got some people you can't talk to because, I know the Lord will take care of it, but right now I just need somebody to vent to. Just hear me out. Okay, I know the Lord's in it, but can you just be a normal human being and hear me for a minute? Take off your religious hat and just let me vent. We all, I don't care how our walk is with God, I don't care if we speak in tongues 24 hours a day. There's times between breaths that you're going to be unhappy. Come on. I mean, really. We are going to suffer things in this earth. Why? Because the enemy is released to do his business. And the enemy is real. And the enemy is a threat to the people of the earth. And the only protection we have is the Spirit of God in us. And even us Christians get attacked by the devil, and we fall, and we fail, and we get discouraged, we become afraid, and even we doubt. Don't let no Christian, I'm going to tell you, if you have never doubted or asked any questions, your faith's not very much. Listen to me. If you see, I mean, I'm telling you, I was out in the woods yesterday, and I got a chair out there. If anybody takes it, I'm coming after you. And I was reading some scripture that I didn't understand. And you know what I said? I said, Lord, I don't understand this scripture. I don't know why you are going to do it this way. You need to expound to me. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me why you would do it this way. Help me understand that. There's nothing wrong with seeking truth. Because if we stopped seeking truth, this is what happened. I've told you this at the very beginning of Living Word Ministries. Don't ever just take what I say as truth. Let God confirm it in your spirit. And if it's not truth, then get rid of it. Just say, well, pastor missed that, and I can't accept that. Fine. You know, when we just accept everything because a man says it, I mean, you know, because the king of England says it, or because the pope says it, it must be truth, or because an athlete or a country singer says it must. Oh, did you hear what Black Eyed Peas said? Did you hear what Will.i.am said? Oh, my gosh. You know what he said? He said, tonight's going to be a good night. That's what he said. Did you hear what he said? It must be truth. Dig for yourself and find the truth of God. I am a mortal man that knows that I make mistakes. And there are times I know I've misspoken, or I've said something probably off the wall a little bit, or I've said something that wasn't maybe completely, not willingly, but just out of ignorance. Because I'm an ignorant man sometimes. I'm a southern North Carolina Statesville grown boy. I don't have a lot of sense sometimes. Until God shows me something. So find the truth for yourself. And I was asking God, I said, God, I don't understand this. Now, he's not giving me the answer yet, but he will. I'm going to keep seeking him. Lord, I need the answer on this. I need to know for me. I know your word says it. I can believe that by faith, but I want to know why. I want to know why it says that. I want to know why the pattern is this way. I want to know why you word it this way. I need to know, God. I just need to know. Nothing wrong with that. If we are not searching for truth, it don't mean much to us. Just don't accept everything that comes along. This is where cults come about. David Koresh's come about. Because people just follow. Oh, the Messiah said it. Oh, he said, oh. I'm going to tell you something. If you are a believer, the Lord has given you the Holy Spirit to discern right from wrong, truth from lie. And you will know when something's not right. So be careful of that. Please be careful of that. Now, let's get back to our scripture. We know that the whole earth, whole creation groaneth in pain till now, and not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is our first fruits to show us, to confirm our life with Christ. Even we ourselves groan, waiting, we're waiting, eagerly waiting, for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Aren't we crying out for that? The day that sickness and disease has no more power, and aging has no more power, and our mind stays sharp, and we don't walk with aches and pains, and we don't look in the mirror and say what happened over the last 30 years. All of that's going to go away when our bodies are restored. There's an adoption of our natural body that's going to take place. People that have died already are with Jesus, but they've not yet received their glorified body, but they will. Church, they will. We all, at the return of Jesus, will receive a glorified body, and we will be reinstated into a position again, just as Adam and Eve were placed in the very beginning. We'll be back in that eternal state of victory and power that Adam and Eve were supposed to be in. Adam was made in the image of God. Is there any death in God? No. Sickness in God? No. Disease in God? No. Poverty in God? No. God is perfect. They were created that way. When the kingdom is reestablished, here's what happened at Calvary. Jesus restored and reconciled our soul, but we still live in this flesh. But one day, when the king comes to establish his kingdom, our body will catch up with our soul. And not only is our soul still sealed and restored, but our body will also be restored. And we will be back in a place of walking in power and victory, and we're never going to die again. The Bible says the last enemy to be put under his feet, God's feet, is death. Now, we know death still reigns in the natural realm. We know it doesn't reign in the spiritual realm for Christians, but it does the natural realm. We still, by the flesh, lay it down. But when Jesus establishes his kingdom and returns, we will be glorified. Those that have gone on will be glorified. Those that are alive remain will be glorified. We're going to be glorified forevermore. Death will have no more victory. Grave will have no more sting. Why? Thanks be to Jesus Christ who give us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15. We have the victory because of Jesus Christ. Because when he rose, as the song just said, when he rose, I was justified freely forever. When we understand what Jesus has really done for us, we'll understand the message of grace. It's not a fancy word that's used in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Pentecostal church or a religious circle. Grace means that I am Jesus' forever because of what he and he alone did for me. He paid the price. He laid down his life for me. I can never repay him for what he did. I can never earn my way. I can never do enough good works to earn or justify what he did for me. All I can do is accept it, follow him, serve him, love him with all that I do. Jesus carried my sins far away. He doesn't see me or see you as you are in the natural. He sees the new transformed you in the spirit. My sins have been moved as far as the east is from the west. I have been spiritually regenerated, but I still perish in the flesh. The whole creation is groaneth. It's waiting for the manifestation. Do you realize that even nature was affected by the fall of man? Creation and nature, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the weather, all things were affected by the fall of man. But when we are restored and the kingdom's established, all will be put back in line, and all will be perfect again, and all will be right again. And the enemy will not have a foothold anymore in our lives. He will be banished, the Bible says, in the pit of hell and sealed away forever. Now, I won't get into Revelation tonight because I got something in Revelation I want to read that talks about the new heaven, new earth, and what that really means. So you got to come back tonight to hear this. I want to lay the foundation now for what we're talking about today. John 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. What was that place? The kingdom. It was the kingdom. He went to prepare the kingdom. Now, y'all are looking sleepy on me. Church, don't fall asleep. If I was up here, if this was a ball game, y'all wouldn't be sleeping on me. I've only been talking 25 minutes. Come on. We're talking about your eternal life. We're talking about your eternal life. The world needs to hear the king is coming. They need to hear Jesus on the way. They need to hear that if they do not turn their hearts and lives to him, they will be left behind, so to speak. They're not going to be a part of the kingdom. This kingdom, church, I want to tell you, what God has prepared for us is not just a dream or a vapor. It's not just a mystical movement. It's not just something that we're going to be in la-la land like we're on gas at a dentist's office. You know, it's not going to be that way. The kingdom of God is going to be an established kingdom where we're going to have a forever sealed spirit and a forever glorified body. And we're going to be serving and ruling and worshiping and singing and living a whole life that will never run out. The sun will never cease to shine. God's glory will never cease to exist again. We will be in an eternal state and a realm that will never pass away. People have been trying to find the fountain of youth for years. And the vampire story come up, suck your blood. And you'll live forever. Don't you want to live and not die? Come with me. And you know what? When you watch those vampire movies, don't you kind of find yourself going, that wouldn't be so bad. I could take one little bite to have everlasting life.
I know you women, you know, Dracula was kind of a sexy guy to you women, you know, even though he was kind of a creepy guy. Oh, darling, do you want eternal life? All of a sudden you find yourself fascinated over Dracula. What's wrong with me? Hello? He's a devil. But see, the eternal life's to turn on, right? Oh, I can live forever. I can change into a bat when I want to. That's pretty cool, huh? Did you know that there are now, we Googled this, there are 750,000 Americans. Now, that's a lot of Americans. There are 750,000 Americans that are alive today that are over 100 years old. Did you know that? That's a lot. They predict that figure by 2050 to be, what was it, Melanie? It's like it's over 1 million or maybe 2 million. And there are actually several thousand, I don't remember how many thousands there were. I mean, it was in the double-digit thousands that are over 110. Now think about that. Doc, you ain't but halfway there. Praise Jesus. You got a long way to go. But you know what? Until the kingdom's established, they will eventually run out unless the trumpet sounds. And think about how glorious a day that's going to be. How glorious that'll be. Because there's some of us won't go by the grave. There's some of us that'll be alive on the earth when he returns. There's a generation that will not ever lay in a coffin or be put 6 feet under, but we'll be living our lives for God, and all of a sudden we'll hear a sound we've never heard before, a strange noise in the air, and we'll know immediately what it is. We'll recognize the voice of God ushering in the kingdom of God upon the earth, establishing it for us. Get ready. The king is coming. Glory to God. Now, churches, and not just this church, I talked to other pastors, churches across are getting emptier and emptier. And here's why. Can I be honest with you? It's a Sunday morning crowd. I mean, it's down to this now, so I might as well go ahead and throw it out. This is a Sunday morning crowd. The reason, here's one reason that people have become uncommitted to church. They do not want accountability in their lives. They do not want the Holy Spirit to really invoke anything because it exposes things in their lives they're not happy with. And I'm talking about my own life. I'm telling you, I've been exposed by the Holy Spirit so many times, and I don't like the feeling. But then I appreciate the feelings. I know I'm His when I feel it. But the reason people want a regular service, and I'm going to tell you, there are some churches that are really growing. And a lot of churches that are growing, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm not. I don't talk about other churches. I'm not going to call them no names. But there's churches that are growing that are fluffing the message. There's no conviction. It's all feel good. It's all feel good, and they're not allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to really enter into their hearts and their minds to bring about change. Nobody wants to be exposed in the Spirit. But unless we're exposed, we can't change. Do you understand? Your children cannot get saved unless the Holy Ghost convicts them. Who cares how to be happy? It's time to get saved and born again by the kingdom of God. I mean, Lord, and I got children too, and I'll tell you, everybody, I'm not trying to be ugly about this. If you agree with this, I'm sorry, I don't. And I got children to participate, I don't agree with it. Every kid gets a trophy now. No matter what they do, they find something to give them. Oh, you got best hair. Here's a trophy. You stunk. You didn't score no points. You played no games, but you got nice hair. Congratulations. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't have to make a team anymore. You're on a team automatically. Everybody gets a fair shake. What happened to earning? I went out for basketball in third grade, Ebenezer. Did not make it. They had a list at the door on the weekend. My dad was on the way to church Sunday morning. My dad went up to Ebenezer. They said they had the list up there for the weekend. Dad, I was too scared to go up. My dad walked up. He looked down the list for my name. He came back to the car, looked at me. I was so hurt. I mean, come on, look at me. Am I not basketball material? What's the difference in me and Philip? I mean, really, stand up, Philip. What's the difference in me and Philip? Come on. They didn't take me. But back in my day, you had to earn it. Everybody didn't get a free pass. I don't want to hurt no feelings. And mamas and daddies in the political arena, and I've seen parents, and my kid played basketball, he played t-ball, he did track, he did several things in the years, and I would see parents go on the court and actually get in the coach's face. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't play my son enough. And Jamie come, and I tried to set an example for my son. He came to me one day, several years ago. He said, Dad, he said, why don't you go talk to coach like other parents are about putting me in more? I said, Jamie, why don't you practice and get better? It ain't my job. Earn your way on the team. Remember me telling you that, Jamie? You remember that. He never makes me look good. But people just want to be patted on the back with no accountability. But church, unless there's accountability, how do we know where we stand? I'm not talking about our salvation. I'm talking about our life. But see, the Holy Spirit exposes things that we don't want to hear. It makes us feel funny and uncomfortable. I'm not used to this in the Methodist church or the Presbyterian church or whatever church or the Catholic church or the Pentecostal, whatever. I'll go there because it's safe and the preacher ain't always talking about this and I don't feel nothing. That's the point. You don't feel nothing. Shouldn't we feel something in the presence of God? We should feel an illumination. We should feel a conviction. We should feel a fire burning within us if the Holy Spirit's alive and well. We should feel something that makes us want more. Let me give you an example, and I'll close with this. I won't get revelation tonight. I was talking to a guy this week. He goes to a Baptist church. And he came to the house, and I've known him for a good while. When he came out of the house, stopped by, and we were talking, and he said, let me ask you something, Pastor. He'd never been here before, ever. He said, I go to a Baptist church. I said, you know, they don't teach on the Holy Ghost. They won't touch it. As far as tongues and gifts of spirit, they don't touch it. And he said, but I know it's true. He said, it's in the Word. So I began just to light up, man. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so great. So I get mad and leaving. This is a guy actually wanting it. Oh, my gosh. You know what he told me? He says, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want it. I looked at him and I said, you get ready. It's on the way. He said, I've sat in this church for years and years and said, it's the same. I'm not growing. I know I'm saved, but I need more than that. I need more than knowing I'm saved. He said, I know it's true. He said, they won't touch it. I've went to them, tried to talk to them. They won't touch the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They stay away from it. But said, I know it's true because it's in the Word. And I was it fired me up. I about laid hands on him right then, but I thought, wow, I can't get the flesh getting away. God, you do it when you want to do it. But we're in my basement, and I'm so excited. So immediately, you know, I told myself, well, look, I definitely have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I, you're right, it is true. And I just went on and on and on and on and on and on. So excited. Because, see, most people's reaction is, I don't believe in that. Yeah, but you don't believe in much of nothing, to be honest. Here's the deal. If you really have an open heart, you may not understand it, but you won't reject it. Not if your heart's right. You may not understand all of it, but you won't reject it. See, people that really reject the power of the Holy Spirit move and have deeper problems than that. They have deeper problems. It's more than just that. That's not what's bothering them. You know what bothers them? The Holy Spirit exposes and convicts. They don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like that feeling I get, man. You know, Bruce gave a testimony the first time he came here. He's told before. He was sitting back there about where Ron and Judy are, and he was sitting back there at first service. He'd been out of church for years and years. And he said, I was sitting back there, and you were preaching, and said, I felt something rising up in me, and says, I wanted so bad to get up and get out of that church. I couldn't wait for you to end so I could leave. I couldn't wait for you to get done so I could just leave. You know what that was? It was the Holy Spirit. Man, that's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. Embrace that and say, Lord, I do want what you have for me. I do want you to speak to my life, and I do want you to show me the way, and I do want you to help me and strengthen me. God, I'm tired of rejecting and denying. I want more than just knowing I'm saved. I want to go deeper into things of God. That's another whole message. I just want to bring that up because I was so excited. And here's a guy been in a Baptist church for years and years that never teaches this, but he himself says, Pastor, I know it's true. I've been reading my Bible, and God's been showing me things. Whew. You know what I told him? I said, that church won't hold you much longer.
Because you're going to get to a point you're so miserable, you're going to have to find somewhere where you know you're growing. And we should be growing. We should be growing spiritually. It should not be the same thing every single week. We should be growing. A lot of you have grown. I can see that in this church, I can see so much growth in many of you at Living Word. So much growth. Spiritual growth. That I just it makes me proud to see that. Oh, let it grow. Dom was a little bitty plant. Now he's up to here. Just got to keep watering them. Keep watering them. It's a great thing. Jesus is coming. The kingdom is on the way. We see the unrest in the Middle East. We see what's happening in the governments all over the world, our nation all over the world. Tornado outbreaks. The worst outbreak, they said, in what, 60 years or something. Over 300, almost close to 400 now dead, confirmed. Tsunamis that hit the shores so fast you can't get away from it. Earthquakes all around the world. Violence, anger, sin, ungodliness. We see the writing on the wall. We need to be aware of the time we're in right now. Be aware of that time. It's time to quit playing. The Bible says to be sober and watch. We as Christians should be noticing what's happening around us and be very aware of that and telling people about Jesus. The King is coming. Get ready. Verse 28. Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, that means saved, according to his purpose. We have confidence in that, that all things work together for good for us. We may not see it, but it's working out good for us. This is why I say sometimes that an unanswered prayer is an answered prayer, because God knows what's best for your life. We can't see it sometimes. If we really want to be in God's will, it means we must surrender and say, God, I'm yours. My life is yours. My family is yours. My money is yours. My direction, whatever, God, just take my life over. Whatever you want me to do. Because God's never wrong. I imagine God gets frustrated sometimes with us, don't he? We're pressing the door. We're pressing, trying to get something. And all along, he's holding it back. And like, don't you understand that's not what they need? He's working all things out for good, especially for the called, for the saved. We got a kingdom on the way. Get ready, church. We won't always be in this mortal flesh. Boy, ain't that good news. You know, right now the life expectancy of the American man is like, what, 79 or something, and the woman's 81 or something like that. There'll be a day where the life expectancy of man will be, what? Forever. Man, can you imagine that? Lord, living forever. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you that you are returning for the church. You did not leave us abandoned. You made a plan for us, and that plan will be fulfilled. That plan will be solved one day. Thank you for that. For those in here this morning, Lord, that have not made you their Lord and Savior, they are not followers of you. They have denied and rejected and held back and not really surrendered. I pray for saving grace this morning, that you minister to the hearts through this message and through this word, that you minister to the hearts, that they will find you, see you, and accept you before you return to establish the kingdom. Thank you for the hope we have in you. Thank you for the kingdom that's on the way. Thank you that the manifestation of the sons of God are going to come forth. We are going to rise when you sound the horn. I've heard it now, so you can sing it.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he cared.
Far away, rising, he justified.